Take it away, our kid.
Is everybody ready?
Go for it, skinny okay. human.
Thank you.
It could have gone a lot worse.
It could have gone really badly, yeah. couldn't it?
Just So Jables. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables film podcast with me, Jables.
Me, our kid.
And me, producer Ben.
You won't get into it, will you?
Such a grump. Well, here on the Just So Jables film podcast, we like to go and watch a brand new film that no one's ever seen before, except for this week, and give you our instant hot takes straight after watching it, which will be even hotter because we're going to be watching it in the same room that we're talking about it. So it's going to be smoking hot. This week, our kid, we're going to be watching...
Spaceman.
But before we get onto that, Ben, let's see how wrong we are with the film we watched last week, which was...
Imaginary. The Chauncey Show.
The Chauncey Show. Did you do like a little pretend bear?
I was trying to be you Chauncey, mimed a bear. And I don't quite know what I did, but I think it worked.
Like a Cockney gangster.
Oi, okay. You talk. Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you about the reviews?
Tell us about the reviews. Okay.
So it has not done well. Rotten Tomatoes score, critics 26%, audience 53%, generally saying that the core concept is solid enough, but too much of its potential is lost in a cliched story. Benjamin Lee of The Guardian gave it 1 out of 5 and said it was a shoddy and unimaginative creep show. Peyton Robinson for Roger Ebert said it was forgettable, bland, and directionless. So not much love, but I say screw those guys because I enjoyed it.
I think I lean more towards them than I do towards you guys. I kind of thought about it a bit disappointed. Still, I think, and yeah, I'd agree with that. A good idea, not well executed. Aww. It was what it was, not as good as it could have been for me, anyway. So, yeah,
I thought it was fine. The things I liked about it, Chauncey Bear, the kids, and the main character, I enjoyed the premise, the list, that kind of thing. I enjoyed it. The weaknesses of it, I can totally live with.
I think Chauncey could have been better, though. Like those things, I just think there was more potential there that wasn't delivered on. So,
Ben?
We've been doing a lot of Chauncey stuff this week, haven't we?
We have, actually.
Yeah.
Lots of Chauncey.
We weren't referencing Chauncey as if he's there, but obviously I'm the only one who can see him.
Okay.
In casual conversation, out and about in polite society. Also, this week, our kid got me some Chauncey Bear edibles. So little Chaunceys.
Edibles, as in?
Yeah.
That word.
Not in the way that you think.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
No. Right, it depends. But yeah, tiny little sponge bears with chocolate inside them.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not actually official
They're
Chauncey
Bears. They're called Barney Bears, but we call them Chauncey Bear.
Hi, Barney.
Yeah. And we've been finding lots of little drawings of Chauncey
around the
office and around the house.
So it worked for you, but...
Yeah, I think we took to the...
Yeah, the lore of Chauncey.
But that was... But, I mean, how important was he actually in the film, really?
Not
not really.
Okay, so I think it's probably fair to say I haven't really thought about the film in the last week,
Just
but
Chauncey.
I have thought a lot about Chauncey.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, if people want to let us know what they thought about Chauncey Bear... How would they do that, our kid?
At Just So Jables on Facebook, Instagram and X, formerly Twitter. Or they can go on the website, justsojables.com, and find some links there.
Well, Ben, why don't you tell us, what are you on about this week?
I'm on about Ford versus Ferrari this week, which is a film from about 2018 or something, 19-ish, that I've been meaning to watch ever since it came out, I guess. You know, it's a film about cars.
Oh, this will be right up your street then,
I'm into cars, yeah. And was it Saturday night we sat and we watched, or maybe Friday, I can't remember. We rewatched Rush, which we've seen quite a few times, which is just the Niki Lauda, James Hunt biopic.
It's a family favourite, isn't it?
Yeah. And after that, we were just in the mood for more cars. And I was like, why don't we watch Ford versus Ferrari that I've been mentioning every year? And our kid's been like, no, I'm not in the mood. But you were in the mood. I thought, let's pop cars on. Let's pop Ford versus Ferrari on. It was absolute trash. I was surprised. It was so hackneyed, so... cheesy, weird performances from Christian Bale. The actual plot of the story itself and the things they decided to highlight in it didn't match the title. It was Ford versus Ferrari. There was virtually no Ferrari stuff in it at all. It was all just like Matt Damon's character and Christian Bale's character goofing around, acting like one-dimensional caricatures. A bit of like also on the one-dimensional front, oh, look, it's the suits from Ford coming to tell us to stop doing the things we're doing and go fast and stuff. And we're just building cars and trying to go fast and they're trying to stop us. It was just rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't really have much more to say about it. Just it's long as well, like just waste of time.
Wasn't it originally called something else?
Le Mans.
Le Mans,
it's called in some territories.
I think here it was. And then I think now it's come to streaming, they've just named it all Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, there wasn't an older film called Le Mans, wasn't there? So I don't know if there was some confusion in some places.
Steve McQueen, yeah.
Yeah, so in case you're not aware, this is the point in history in, was it about the early 60s? Not too sure. Where Ford were poised to buy Ferrari for some reason. And then Ferrari turned them down and they were like, well, we're just going to come and like destroy you on the race circuit then just to annoy you. But there was just no like pathos. There was no, I didn't know who I was rooting for. They were all jerks. There wasn't enough like car stuff. There were stupid racing scenes where they seemed to have 100 gears, close-ups of footwork that made no sense. Stupid stuff. Christian Bale, he was the driver, so he was going to drive the car. Matt Damon plays Carroll Shelby, who's kind of like the visionary engineer type. Yeah, Christian Bale. Well, two things about Christian Bale. One, what was his accent all about? It's Christian Bale, who is English, right? Pretending to be English, but it just is weird. He's putting on this weird sort of semi-northern accent. We later found out the original guy who he's playing was from Birmingham, so we don't know what's going on there. And then there are scenes in him like he's testing this GT40 car, and he's like, well, his whole thing is you've got to understand the car, you've got to have mechanical sympathy, you don't drive it to the edge and all that kind of stuff. And then in the next scene, he lacks mechanical sympathy and drives it to the edge and crashes.
Mechanical sympathy is one of Ben's big things, by the way.
Is it? Yeah.
Like, what? I'm actually getting angry now. This film is awful. Don't watch it. Yeah, so that's me. Don't watch that film. Jables, what film
would
you recommend?
Well, I'm just going to say, I didn't hate the film as much as you. It wasn't particularly great. Strange gear choices and gear changes. It was very throwaway. And I don't like changes in history. It's a little bit revisionist. Maybe not revisionist, but they skip over a lot of stuff where, again, as I've said before and other things, real life is probably more interesting than the way they put some of this stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, it could have been an interesting film and it could have showed us what really happened. It didn't.
Yeah, the guy who they made the real villain of the piece was an executive from Ford, who I looked up and was nothing but supportive, apparently, of the racers.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And they totally demonised him, didn't he? Every scene he was in, he was doing something Machiavellian and awful. So, yeah,
I hate that in films. That's
I don't mind a little bit of it for drama, but when it's a real person, you think, what?
Well, what I am on about is, I've spent a week not really watching much, so I am going to be going on about retro reels. 30th of March, 7:30, Corn Exchange. We will be watching Aliens. I don't know if you mentioned on here that it's going to be the director's cut.
I can't remember if we did.
I know we spoke about it. So, yeah, if you want to come join us watching Aliens in the cinema on the big screen, maybe the version that you've not seen before. If you're the more casual fan who thought, oh, I'd like to see that again, you might be quite surprised with some of the changes and some of the bits in there. It's selling quite well at the moment. Still got a couple of weeks to go, but the seats are selling. Knowing what we know with retro reels, it can sell out quite quickly in the last week or so. So get on there early, get involved. Cool. Our kid, tell us, what are you on about?
Well, I went to Kings Lynn Community Cinema Club last week. And we watched a film called Scrapper, which is a 2023 British film written and directed by Charlotte Regan, about a little girl called Georgie. She's about 12 years old, but she's living on her own away from the gaze of social services. She's managed to sneak away somehow after her mum died. So she's living by herself. And she's a fun little character. She's got a little pal called Ali, and they basically steal bikes to make money and then buy treats and sit around the house. But it's quite interesting because they're saying, oh, isn't it great not having any grown-ups? But you can see that there's a lot of underlying pain and emotion there. And then her estranged dad, played by Harris Dickinson, who was in See How They Run. He played the Richard Attenborough character.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In that. This proper, like, gold chainy, athleisure wear kind of lad, who obviously they had kids very, very young. So he turns up and it's about the two of them trying to get to know each other, really. And it was quite low-key and you had to suspend disbelief. And a lot of the scenes that flash up, you realise, are from an imaginative child's point of view rather than from reality. There's a couple of scenes where you see social services in the office talking and they're really stupid and you're thinking, well, no one can be that stupid.
Yeah.
And then you realise as it goes through that actually a lot of those scenes weren't really what's happening. It's what in her head is happening. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'd recommend it. There's no music. There's no ramping up of drama. It's just human drama. It's nice.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
What was that called again? Scrapper?
Scrapper.
Mm. Nice. But it's the kind of thing I quite like watching, so yeah.
Yeah, Georgie, the actress who plays Alola Campbell, I think she was a real find. She's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
She, if she hadn't been so good, I don't think it would have worked, but it worked really well.
So, on to this week then, We are going to be watching Spaceman.
Yeah.
Came out, it's about a month ago on Netflix.
Well, it was two weeks ago, it said.
How was it? It feels like it was longer ago. I remember seeing the advert and trailer for it a little while back.
I think the trailer came out a bit before, didn't it?
So I think, Ben, you're going to give us some film info. And then we'll discuss.
Yeah, not a huge amount. I don't know much about this film. I'll just give you the basics. This is a film starring Adam Sandler as a Czech astronaut, Jacob. It's based on a book, and the premise is he has to go on a mission to space to investigate something that they don't quite understand, some dust particles or bits and pieces. And in the course of it, figures out some of his personal problems with the help of an alien. That's basically what you get. Mm-hmm. What you're going to get. I'll give you a little bit more technical information. It's directed by Johan Renck, who I think did some Chernobyl series or something, which we haven't seen.
I have seen that.
Really good. Yeah.
Kerry Mulligan, who I guess is his wife in the film. Strange wife, maybe. Mm-hmm. Kunal Nayar, who was in Big Bang Theory. And Isabella Rossellini. I don't know who she is in this. Maybe the alien.
I think she's his boss.
Oh, right.
No, I think Paul Dano seems to be the alien.
Who's Paul Dano?
He was the Riddler in the Robert Battenbach
film.
Right. He's been in quite a few things.
I mean, that's all I'm going to give you for now, because I don't know much about this film. I just kind of want to watch it and see what happens.
Have you watched the trailer?
No, I haven't seen the trailer.
Brilliant.
Are you going to?
No.
Just going to go into it.
Foot down? No.
Well, I've seen the trailer. You've just watched it, haven't you, Arkit?
Yeah.
So I'm quite looking forward to it. I nearly watched it on Tuesday, but ended up watching the football instead. So I'm quite looking forward to watching it. I like these kind of sci-fi films. It's got a bit of a Solaris kind of vibe to it. I like these isolation, deep space missions. They can go a couple of ways. We've seen one in the cinema. I think we've spoken about one here, Ad Astra. Yeah, which had great premise. Not premise.
Visual.
Potential.
Yeah. The first 10 minutes we were like, oh my God, that was amazing. That
looked brilliant. And then the film happened.
Yeah.
And it didn't all land for us.
I don't think I've seen that, have I?
No.
You guys go together.
Yeah, this was before we started the pod. Those heady days when we just went to the cinema.
Yeah, just to watch and like films. But I like those kind of psychological aspects of these things. Solaris is very much like that, isn't it? It's
George Clooney. Was it Steven Soderbergh?
Yeah, I think so.
I do like it.
Yeah, I really like the pace of these kind of slow things. As you said, they can turn sometimes. And it's usually when they start getting trippy or they start getting too far out, that doesn't necessarily correspond with what's happening, if that makes sense. So you get some films, obviously there's like trippy sequences in 2001 when you get near the end of that, but it's very much part of the design of the film, and I think it works in stuff like that. Sometimes they just do it for the sake of effects and flashy lights and odd situations that don't necessarily work. I get the feeling from this there's going to be this interaction between Adam Sandler and this alien presence, and you're not going to know how much is psychological, how much is in his mind. You know, there seems to be like this resentment that his wife's got from him, so I don't know how much of it is going to be from Kerry Mulligan's perspective, or how much of it is going to be his imaginations of her conversations and what she's going through. So it'll be interesting, because I think like films like The Martian, I know it's a different, not necessarily so psychological, but it has psychological aspects to it. It's quite isolationist in places, but then it jumps to what's happening on Earth. And I find some of them like almost the weaker parts of it. The strong parts are when it's like you're on your own, you're stuck. And sometimes cutting back too much to other parts of the story, you almost feel like, oh, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested in how this goes. What about you, Arkit?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a massive Adam Sandler fan. I really like The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably about it. Oh, and that Sesame Street episode with Elmo.
But
50 First Dates is kind of a guilty pleasure,
I guess.
Yeah. But Uncut Gems, Ben's recommended, I don't watch because I'll just find it soul-destroying.
It's hard work, Uncut Gems.
It is hard. Deliberately so, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And he can do serious quite well. Punch Drunk Love is another one. You know, there's certain comedy actors who can do serious, and there's some that do it tongue-in-cheek. And he's definitely got the ability to do it.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see
how he's going to play. I think that's it. I'm interested to see how it plays out with him. I really like Kerry Mulligan as well.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to see her in things. And the visuals and everything look good. Even there's a bit in the trailer, I don't know if it's a flashback, just a vision he's having or something of her driving through some woods. And it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be a visual treat. I just hope it's not superficial, I suppose. I hope if there is depth to it, that it's something that you can take on at the time. Yeah. Like with Moon, for example.
Yeah.
When you're watching it, you completely understand what's going on. It's only when you think about it later that you're like, oh, hang on. And you start to think about it again. But when you watch it, you totally get it. And I'm hoping for that sort of thing, that when I watch it, it makes sense, even if later on I then mull it over. Especially if later on I mull it over.
Yeah, it gives you more levels. Yeah. That like in,
Ben?
For me, I really like sci-fi, but it's so often done poorly. Like, in principle, it's my favourite genre, and I'm always waiting for another good sci-fi film to come out. Often they're either just too ridiculous, too action-y, too crashy, the CGI is awful, or they're just boring. So it'd be interesting to see how they play it in terms of that. Is it going to go towards action? Probably not. It's going to be psychological. Is it going to be emotional? I haven't watched the trailer, so I'm not too sure what tone they're going for. I also think back to, I don't know, like almost like a golden period of sci-fi, things like, I guess, 70s, like Silent Running, things like that, films that I love. The Droids, I know our kids are starting to tear up.
Yeah.
And with every new sci-fi film that comes out that has a bit of a sort of like an isolation, psychological aspect to it, then I think, oh, is this going to be another good film? Like, are they going to bring back those kind of, just the charm and the quality of those films from the 70s? And they almost never do. Like, Moon's probably an exception.
There are some other ones, aren't there?
I mean, there's probably ones I just don't know about. But think films like The Martian, I think, is a bit hacky and a bit cheesy. And
it's kind of fine, isn't
it? It's fine, but it's not great.
It's a good book. And Gravity, I quite like Gravity. It's a good film. There's a lot.
But that's very visual as well, isn't it?
It's very visual.
You kind of have to see it at the cinema.
Very visual and audio, and you know. But I think that actually has some good levels in it as well.
Yeah.
So, well, we're going to move about 5 feet and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
If you want to watch along, then have a look yourself. Come back for the second part.
I thought you were inviting people to come round then.
Yeah, come on round.
Yeah.
The address is...
Right, let's science the shit out of this then.
Cool.
Bye. And we're back from the sofa, having just watched Spaceman. Who's going to give us the synopsis and stuff?
I will do that.
Take it away, our kid.
Is everybody ready?
Go for it, skinny human.
Thank you.
It could have gone a lot worse.
It could have gone really badly, couldn't it? So Adam Sandler plays Jacob, an astronaut who's 6 months into a mission to investigate light particles that have become visible from Earth. Meanwhile, his wife, Lenka, played by Kerry Mulligan, is disillusioned and tries to leave him, but the space authorities act to prevent Jacob finding out.
The space authorities. I
like
that.
I don't know what else to call them. No, I like it, though. But anyway, so there's a schism. The space police. There's a schism between the two of them. And as Jacob comes closer to the particles, or the Chopra, I think he called it. They seem to have a name for
Chopra.
It. But he appears to make an alien friend who helps him to reflect on his life and his choices. I think that'll do.
I think it's pretty good.
Is that enough?
Yeah, I like it. So, usual disclaimer, spoilers territory. I think there's a couple of things you could spoil, but...
Not massively, though, I don't think.
Not massively. It wasn't really that kind of film, was it?
No.
But I guess there's probably things that we won't mention that would potentially spoil parts of the story if you were going to watch, I'd say. I know that's kind of the basis of spoilers. I'm just still talking, aren't I?
Yeah.
But, you know, shall I jump in?
Go on.
I already am, aren't I? I really liked it. It was interesting. So I think we'll all probably have quite a bit to say about it, to be honest. We did have an interval, didn't we, partway
through? We did. Haven't done that since Star Wars.
I know, to get coffees. And it was like, what do you think? Yeah. It was positive at that point. So... there's a lot to like about it. As I said, I'm a fan of these kind of sci-fi films. I'm like Ben, I think sci-fi is probably my favourite genre. And I like all aspects of it. I like the psychological ones. I like the stupid, shooty,
goofy
crashy,
ones.
Goofy ones. Yeah. I like
Galaxy
all sorts.
Raiders.
Yeah, and I think it's just because it has the fantasy elements, but it gives you the ability to just do what you want, add inventiveness. And I think when it's done well... even these kind of ones, which, I mean, it's a sci-fi film, but in reality, it's more a psychological, personal relationship film that happens to be set in space. I think you could kind of deep dive into this if you wanted to. This could be set in a flat. I know it sounds odd, but the important parts of this film are the relationships between the two people who aren't even together. And that's why I think it works as well. You know, the space could be the space just between them. It could just be the space of people not talking, not communicating, not engaging with each other. But at the most base level, it was done really well. I really liked the music, that kind of soundtrack going through. On those things that were sci-fi. I think I liked the style. I liked, you know, you've seen in the trailer, he was on a spaceship. It kind of felt real, even though it's a bit CGI in places. You know, you've got that whole thing of someone floating around, and sometimes it looks good, and it wasn't bad at other times, but, you know, you knew it was a stage, and it kind of didn't matter.
I thought the ship was really good.
Yeah.
I thought the way they thought through every detail, you know, taping condiments to the wall.
Yeah.
Everything around zero gravity
had
been thought through properly.
The faulty toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a refreshing change for it to be a spaceship that isn't just full of stupid screens that are like gesture-based controls and all that.
Yeah.
So it's quite analog, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, it's funny that, because it's very much a product of that. They're cosmonauts. He's a cosmonaut. That kind of Eastern Bloc technology that kind of like made you think, is it in the future? Is it in the past? Just like, you know.
It's not clear, is it really?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, but it's got that. I'm going to say retro. It's not a retro feel, but it has
it's
that.
It's quite blurred, isn't it? That line of time.
Yeah. So really you didn't know if it was future, past, or.
Yeah.
So I really liked all that kind of style. It did remind me a bit of Solaris, actually.
Mm.
So those things aren't necessarily important. They're nice because they're normal in it, if that makes sense. So you're not concentrating on this. As you say, Ben, you're not thinking, oh, that's clever, that's inventive. Oh, look where they're doing the hands in front of waving in front of
You're normally quite bored by that stuff.
Yeah, I find that boring. Because when they rely on that stuff, you know that the story isn't strong enough.
Yeah.
They're just using a veneer of CGI, whatever nonsense.
So, yeah, and the soundtrack going on, I like that style. I like the pace of it. I mean, the film was 1 hour 48, and it was slow.
Yeah.
But I wasn't bored. There's a lot of things you could say that would make it sound boring. It plodded along. It kind of like, it kind of ambled towards it. The conversations weren't rushed. You know, it's quite staccato. Maybe it's a product of the production more than anything, but it was just, it kind of like just kept moving, but it wasn't rushing, which I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Arkin?
Yeah, I found that I liked it more than I ought to have, really. I think that there was a lot about it that I would normally objectively find quite annoying. Like, there was a lot of philosophizing in the way that people were talking to each other. The alien, Hanush, he had a kind of Dr. Manhattan way of talking about the universe.
That's a good shout.
And that could have made my skin crawl and been deeply irritating, but actually I found it quite meditative and quite nice, and I like just following it all through. Mm. And there was a part of me that, in a slightly different mood, would have probably watched it going and like sneered at it a little bit. But I really didn't. I just went with it, and I found that I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So you guys could see Hanush as well? Did you see Chauncey Bear?
Chauncey Bear was there as well.
Yeah, I saw Chauncey. Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
Me? What do I think? Well, kind of the same. I liked it. I don't want to say in spite of itself. I liked it more than I should, I think, like our kid, because in this film, not a huge amount actually happens.
No.
You say that every week.
It is. In this film, not a huge amount actually happens, really.
You say that every week.
I'm sorry. Go on, Ben. It's okay. Come on. Sorry.
I'll be quiet then.
That was your fault.
No, go ahead. Sorry, Ben.
Okay, so for me, you could watch this in a different mood and sneer at it, like you say, but I think it did capture some of that 70s style feel, like in the pacing, the charm of it, sort of melancholy.
Yeah.
There's not really any action in it in a sci-fi sense that you'd think of like a sci-fi action film, where there is stuff happening and there are things going wrong and having to be fixed. And there is that sense of claustrophobia, which is also a feature of some of those 70s films, because like if you get something like Star Trek, there is no sense of claustrophobia because the ship is so
it's
populated, vast. It's like that, doesn't it? It's just a city. I say it's a city on wheels. It's a city in space. Yeah, so in that sense, I think it ticked quite a few boxes for me, because it you know, when I said going into it, I was hoping it was going to be reminiscent of some of those 70s films. And in its own way, I think it was.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have to mention Hanush. He could have been annoying. I don't think he was. I think he was kind of cute.
Yeah, he was
kind of charming.
Sweet.
Adam Sandler was kind of understated. This is going to sound ridiculous. I hated his beard, though. I couldn't get past that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was winding me up for some reason. But anyway.
But he was in space. You always grow a beard in space. Even I grow a beard in space.
He had that kind of retro feel. As I said, I think retro's doing it a bit of a disservice. But
yeah.
It felt like slightly grainy, grimy, analog sort of thing. Mm. But I think in terms of the actual story, I mean, I know it's like relationship, like you said, Jables, relationship stuff, and there's some psychological aspects in there and stuff like that. But when you actually think about it, it's not a huge amount to it. They're not breaking any amazing ground. This film isn't going to probably blow you away. It's not as deep as I think perhaps it would like you to think it is in that sense. But that's not really a criticism. I think it's fine the way it is.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because, we won't get into spoilers and things, but it's like, you know, what's important to you? Where did you come from? All that kind of thing. Mm. It's like, okay, those themes have been done a lot before in various different ways and in sci-fi and in non-sci-fi. So it doesn't really break new ground in that respect, but it does take a different approach to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
an
alien spider.
Yeah, no, I think I'd agree with that. I think that fair point. So I think what it does do, it allows you to talk about it as well, like now afterwards. It wasn't groundbreaking. It could be explained quite simply and almost farcically if you were talking about it. Like if you're saying, oh, yeah, there's a giant spider in space. But then, yeah, you could look at it on more levels. Was there a giant spider in space? Was it all just him having to come to terms with it all completely on his own?
That was done really well, I think, that whole imaginary reality thing. And I think the visuals were at the bottom of that, way that there was a dreamlike quality to a lot of the visual. Mm. In places, it reminded me of, you remember It Follows? I know it's a very different film to that, but visually it had that timeless, dreamy quality that it had. Sometimes it would cut to someone walking along a corridor and you'd see them sideways. Yeah. And that could have, again, have been really annoying, but it just wasn't. And the visuals were part of the storytelling. Yeah. And I think that worked well.
I don't think it was so annoying to be jarring as well, because there's bits where he's clearly dreaming and you kind of know he is. And there's bits, as you say, when he's being forced to confront his past thoughts and experiences where they overlap into this.
Yeah.
So you know, you almost got this, as you say, it could have been an annoying shaky cam kind of thing, but it wasn't made to put you on edge. It was just made you to experience the same things at the same time. Carey Mulligan, I thought she was really good. If you had a criticism of the film, you'd think, oh, she hasn't got a lot to do, but actually she does. She's got to bring a lot of thought without saying a lot of stuff. She isn't given a lot to say, but I think her interactions in the sequences, you know, the flashback type sequences, and just her presence and her physical performance, you can tell it's someone who's troubled, and it's not just someone who's going, that's it, I'm out.
Because your initial reaction, I think, when it starts off basically finding out that she's leaving him.
Yeah.
And I think anyone watching it would be like, why on earth would you do that to someone who's out in space? Yeah. Why would you do it now? Yeah. And someone even asked her that question, why now? Yeah. Why not wait? But as the film follows through, you find yourself thinking, okay, actually, I can kind of see why now.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's forced to face his own shortcomings, isn't he? What he's done and whether he's gone to space to escape for whatever reason. Mm. But he's forced to face them. And what I quite like is it's not excused. That's what I quite liked. It wasn't like, you see he's like that because of so-and-so. And having Hanus's kind of character there, you know, making him do it, there's a point where he's showing bits and pieces and he's like, I can't help you. You're not doing anything, you know. And I think that works really well, because I think there's that sudden realisation that, because he almost says in there, you know, anyone can blame what happened with your father. Anyone can blame other bits. It's like, it's still you've still got to actually face up to them and do something with them. And I really like that. So I think Adam Sandler was really good, actually. I thought
he wasn't even understated, was he? He was just the character, I think. I didn't feel like he was trying to rein himself in, because at any point he could have just erupted into the big loud Adam Sandler, and he didn't do that. But I didn't feel like he was
I wasn't nervous that he was going to. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
I think he just seemed like a fleshed out character.
Yeah, kind of the same of it. When she was angry, you knew why. And you almost, by that point, you didn't question why she didn't want to talk to him. You kind of got it by then.
There were, for me, a couple of funny bits, and I know they weren't supposed to be funny. One was like, obviously, the wedding singer, right? There's the bit that echoes this film where he kind of realizes that he is an asshole.
Oh, you did.
And I just couldn't. I was like, I am an asshole.
Yeah.
And then I quite like the bit as well when they have a flashback to when he's preparing to go into space, and he's obviously at the mission center or whatever, living on site, and he's cooking. So he's having this serious conversation, like his wife's trying to talk to him about something.
Yeah.
And he's cooking some eggs, and he burns the eggs, and he's like, oh, I don't have time to talk about this. I'm having a crisis here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then after the wedding, I know I'm bringing the tone down here, but the wedding singer bit, after that, I was like, they should have had Drew Barrymore in the role of his wife and just pretended that it was actually a sequel to The Wedding Singer, where he'd finally got his shit together, become a cosmonaut.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was original. I think that's why
it was.
You know, it had sci-fi beats, it had things, bits that you've seen in other stuff, but you know, the premise, it was an original story. It was good to watch just on that regard. If you've got any like of these kind of films, I think it wouldn't necessarily blow you away. It's not that kind of film, is it? It's not a pick you up and smash you over the other side of the room. And it's not going to, as you say, Ben, it's not going to make you like question all reality and your personal relationships. But it had a story. It had originality. It was different. I think it was good.
Yeah, I did. I think it's the sort of thing I'll reflect on in the coming days. And maybe I will reflect on things about my life too.
I think, maybe. I think if I had any criticisms of that, there's a part nearer the end where Hanush goes to leave Jacob. And, you know, he takes the, I can't remember what he called it, the disinfectant stuff. He takes it out there.
The bomber.
The bomber stuff. That didn't work for me. Not the actual, not that he just goes out there, just it almost felt like, well, we need something in here. Let's do the firing something in space.
Yeah, I didn't really get what was going on there. But again, I just sort of sat through it to play out and see what happened.
It didn't quite make sense. But, you know, saying that, shout out to Peter as well.
Raj out of Big Bang Theory. I haven't seen him in anything else apart from the Big Bang Theory. He was good, wasn't he?
He's very understated, but quite matter of fact, but not trying to play anything up. I actually really liked it when he's the one that goes to see Lenka. And you can tell there's history. You know, it's almost like one of those things, show me that there's history without showing me that there's history between them. They know each other. As well, and you know, just
that's true,
in such a tiny little scene, they barely say any words to each other, but it was almost like the trust, and I really liked that, so I liked him. I also liked the fact when he does the disinfecting on the ship, and they give him permission to do it. Now you just have to say the advertising slogan for the. It's so weird, and you know he doesn't. You kind of get this thing. He doesn't want to ask him to do it. He doesn't want to do it. But he does it and he delivers it so badly, matter-of-factly, and he goes, that's fine. It's just like, was odd little touches like that.
It was quite subtle the way they wove in the sponsorship, but it seemed real, it felt real somehow.
Weirdly so, it's like no one really wants to do it, but we're just doing it. So I quite liked that. Anything else to add, Arkid?
No, I don't think so. I think that it probably isn't one for the canon, but I would totally watch it again.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I could also see a lot of people having no interest in watching this and going, I bloody hate that. There's no chance of
that's true.
That.
Yeah, because I know it's not on theatrical release, but you can imagine people turning up to the cinema and walking out halfway through thinking, I thought this was a sci-fi film. Something was going to explode and whatever. Yeah.
I wonder if Ad Astra had come out in the same sort of way, where it wasn't like massively hyped up in the cinema and you were kind of left to find it a bit. And it actually had some time to breathe itself, not just an action sequence, quiet bit, action sequence, quiet bit. If it was done like this, then that could have worked as well. Because, they tried to do the psychological in that, didn't they? They tried to have that, and it didn't work.
I might give Ad Astra another try in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
See if it plays out any better. Well, it's been a few years.
I guess
now.
I'd probably need to watch that at some point because I haven't seen it yet.
Hey, give me a shout. I'll come round.
All right.
Ben, your thoughts? Any last thoughts on Spaceman?
No, I don't think so. I'm not even going to attempt to rate him for this.
Ooh.
I don't think. Yeah. Nothing springs to mind. It's a bit different, isn't it? A bit original.
Yeah.
I won't try and give it a rating at this point. No. I might give it one next week.
Oh, good. When you've had a bit of time to sit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I want to sit on it a bit. It's one of those ones where, weirdly, I kind of want to know more, but I don't want to know more. Because I think if I knew more, I'd just be listening to someone else's wanky opinions about it. And I like the fact it sits in that middle ground where I let to kind of decide a bit for myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
So, positive thoughts on Spaceman, even if we're still not quite sure fully how we feel about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, well, no trailers, obviously, because we were sat in your front room. But what are we watching next week, Benj?
Ghostbusters, Frozen Colon, something like that.
Ghostbusters, Frozen Colon. Frozen Kingdom? Frozen
Empire.
Empire, that's the one.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I think it'd be cool.
And it'll be nice to see an original Ghostbusters story. Because I know there was the whole... And we all liked Aftermath, but there was definitely
Aftermath.
Shade. What was it called?
Afterlife. The Frozen Kingdom.
Yeah.
What was it?
Afterlife.
That's the one, Afterlife. We all liked that, but there was also shades of Zool and Goza. So it'd be nice to see something that looks original.
We'll see.
You still don't sound
confused. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about the new film.
You're worried it's going to be too big. I think you've said that before, haven't you?
I am. I think that it could be disappointingly bloated, but...
Yeah. There better not be a climate change element to this.
Just like me, I know what you're thinking. I say,
there will be a climate message. Mm. That's for damn sure.
I'm going to be walking out at that point.
Yeah. I'm walking here.
It's about time you did a flounce.
It is.
Yeah, you do a flounce.
Yeah. On every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Right. Well, enough of that. Let's see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Just so Jables.